Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, October 10th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, for his weekly spot. We get his thoughts on last week's loss to Cincinnati as well as what he thinks will happen this upcoming Sunday against the Chicago Bears. Before we get to that, there's a few things I want to talk about, some housekeeping stuff as well. First off, I made an appearance on Wednesday evening on the Bears Brothers podcast, a great podcast about the Chicago Bears. They invited me on as a guest to talk about the Miami Dolphins and this week's game. I have a link to that up on our website, DolphinsTalk.com. Will is a great host of their podcast. Everyone check it out. It's about a half hour show where I was on as a guest and talking to Will there, who runs this great Chicago Bears podcast about the Miami Dolphins this year and what to look for this week against the Bears. We did a little preview of this week's game, so check that out. It's up on our website right now. You know, there's not much happening on the field. I mean, Tuesday's a slow day. It's usually the players' off day. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins right now are still the walking wounded. Bobby McCain probably won't be playing this week. Andre Branch up in the air. No word yet on Cam Wake. We all know about Laremy Tunsil. A.J. Derby, no word yet there. So the Miami Dolphins are a mess. You know, I've been, you know, flooded with emails and tweets and stuff where people say, oh, you know, they should go out and sign Eric Flowers, who was I think picked 9th a couple years ago in the draft by the Giants. He was released, offensive tackle. And I've even had people say, oh, they should go out and sign Richie Incognito. No. No. Guys, look. This is, you know, mid-October, essentially. The Miami Dolphins' offensive line problem, it's the problem for the rest of the year. There's no, you know, there's nobody out there that they can sign that's going to solve it. Eric Flowers was a top 10 pick. And do you think the Giants wanted to release him? They released him because he cannot play. Now, I know he might be marginally better than Sam Young, or he might be marginally better than anyone else on Miami's roster at offensive tackle, you know, right now, depth-wise at least. And but it's like, no, that look, marginally better, you don't go out and sign guys who are marginally better than what you got. And if they're not going to be an upgrade, then it's, I mean, or just like a slight upgrade, it's not going to solve the problem. You know, the Richie Incognito talk, give me a break, people. The guy's a jerk. He should be in jail. And the owner in Miami, he would never bring him back to this team just for, you know, everything that took place a few years back there with Bullygate. Whether you think Incognito didn't do anything wrong or not, you know, perception is reality, and you're just not going to bring him back. Even if they tried to sign him, he'd probably be suspended by the league immediately for some of his off-the-field incidents this past year. So, you know, would it bother me if the Miami Dolphins did look to bring in an offensive lineman here or there? No, not at all. But, you know, there's nobody out there, folks. There's nobody out there that is going to magically, you know, walk in the door and, you know, help this team win games. The offensive line is what it is. And if this lays at the feet of the front office, they screwed it up in the offseason, screwed it up royally. And now, look, through all these injuries and some luck, some unfortunate luck, you know, they're stuck with guys like Travis Swanson at center, with Ted Larson at guard, and, you know, Sam Young at left tackle, or whoever they're going to, you know, put out there if Laremy Tunsil can't play. So maybe they sign someone, but, you know, don't waste your time, you know, looking at every player who's released here thinking, Miami should get them, because they're being released for a reason. They're just not any good, and it sort of is what it is. Like I said, there's really not much taking place. We should find out later today who practiced and who did not practice. Hopefully get an update on Tunsil. What happened with Wednesday's practice? I don't think we'll know probably till Thursday or Friday. But we'll know in advance of the weekend if he's going to play or not. We will know one way or another. So what I'll do right now is take a quick break. And after the break, we will be joined by Antoine Staley, Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, for his weekly spot here on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast to get the latest news, rumors, tidbits, information from him and sort of pick his brain on all things Miami Dolphins. So sit tight, and we'll be back right after this.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. So this past week's game, didn't go well for the Miami Dolphins. A heartbreaking loss. But before we talk about that, there's some other news concerning the Dolphins. First off, this report about the Miami Dolphins possibly shopping Devontae Parker. Have you heard anything about that? What do you think is happening there?
Well, we got told to by somebody within the organization, at least source, that that's not going to happen. They're not shopping Devontae Parker, despite a Michael Lombardi report. But that doesn't mean they're not. I mean, there hasn't been any talks about them, you know, possibly trading Devontae Parker. They just might not be actively put him on the market. So you never know. Dolphins could just be denying this just because things might not happen and they don't want to lose Devontae Parker mindset. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening on the trading deadline. It's coming up in a few weeks. I still think they're going to Devontae Parker will be on the team, just quite frankly, because you're not going to get much for him. You may get a 7-round pick, but I don't think you're going to get much in return for him.
No, absolutely not. His trade value right now has to be at an all-time low just because he's been hurt and the production on the field, you know, it's just not there. So I wouldn't think they get a lot in return for him right now. So it's probably best just to hold on to him and maybe he can help you win some games this year when he is on the field. Rashad Jones, it was reported yesterday, he's playing through a partially torn labrum. That can be kind of painful. How long? I mean, I know you can't really tell, but would there be a point, you think, if the season starts to go south that Miami might just shut him down at some point? That's a big injury. That's tough to play through.
Yeah, similar to his injury that he had 2 years ago. So you don't want to necessarily hurt his future there. Or you kind of want to look out for his best interest. So I would think, yeah, you definitely, if things start to go south and you lose six games in a row and it looks like you're not going to make the playoffs, I think it's best for him to just go ahead and get surgery and then just have him out for the rest of the year instead of just keeping him out there. And plus you don't want him, even though as good as Rashad Jones is and his greatest he made and the impact that he makes on defense, you don't want to necessarily have him at 50%. I think it'd be better if you have him as close to 100% as possible, even though he's not going to be 100% the rest of the year.
Yep, absolutely. And plus, you also have to think about next year as well. And look, he's still young enough where he has more than a few quality years left in him. So long term, you want to see him healthy. The Cincinnati loss. Tough loss. I mean, the Miami Dolphins have had some rough losses over the years. Just last year alone when they played the Ravens and they played the Panthers. Last week against New England, all rough losses. But when you lose and you get blown out, you can sort of accept it. You clearly aren't the better team on that day. This game Miami had in hand, and they, in my opinion, just handed away a victory. What's your big takeaway from this loss against Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think to an extent it might be worse than the Patriots because you just had your heart ripped out of you. That's pretty much the way I can describe it. And it's, you know, losses like that come at the haunt you. If you want to be a playoff team, you have to win games like that. You're up 17-0 in that game. You're up 17-3 at the end of the third quarter. Yeah, I mean, you have to assume the Bengals offense is going to at least make it close and make it interesting, but you have to be able to close games out, especially on the road. And that's something the Dolphins just have not been able to do. And I've said this on Twitter. I'm sure we're going to talk about Ryan Tannehill in particular, specifically. But I just felt like when the chips were down and things started to get really, really rough for him and the Dolphins' offense, I really had no confidence that they were going to be able to stay above water. And everything just started to hit at one time. And as you know, he ended up just making three turnovers in the fourth quarter. And, of course, that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, and before we start talking about the quarterback, let's talk about the big call of the game, which I thought was the big call, the third and one call. What are your thoughts on that call? At that point in the game, Miami was up, I believe, 17-3. And they are just running the ball pretty much at will with Frank Gore. He's getting 4 or 5 yards a carry. You got a third and one. Why would you try to throw the ball long is a question a lot of people have. It's a question I have. I didn't like that call. What are your thoughts on that play call in particular?
I'm not surprised because it's Adam Gase. He doesn't. Yep. he just didn't like to run the ball. I don't understand it. I really don't get it. He's just not one of those hard nosed guys that's gonna run the ball in that situation typically, and I don't get what he was thinking in that scenario. To be completely honest, I mean you're running the ball, you have the lead, just keep running it and just move the chains and keep the clock moving. That's all you have to do. But instead, you end up throwing it, I think from my perspective. As far as him, his quarterbacks are concerned, with Jay Cutler and Tannehill, this is not Peyton Manning. Peyton is Peyton. I mean, you can probably do that in this situation with Peyton Manning at 31, and he doesn't make it. Like, oh well, that's Peyton Manning. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You have confidence that he's gonna make the play in that situation, even though if he doesn't, we're talking about Ryan Tannehill, who doesn't nearly have the same accomplishments credentials as a Peyton Manning. So yeah, just play, just understand your strengths of your team and just use that to your advantage. And of course you had the lead. So again, just have to play to that strength and just try to keep the clock moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause even if you run the ball and even if it's a loss or you don't pick up the first down, okay, you keep the clock moving, you punt and you play field position. Cause Cincinnati's offense at that point, you know, they moved the ball, but they were unable to really punch it in. You let them eat up clock, let them try and score, make them go the length of the field. None of it makes any sense. To me, Adam Gase is a guy who would rather outsmart someone than just overpower someone. Sometimes there's no thought into it. You just line up and do a sneak, which we never see a quarterback sneak. Tom Brady is, I think he's the same age as me. He's 41 years old. He'll do a sneak he'll get hit, pick up a yard. We never do a quarterback sneak. That's number one. And number two, when you're running the ball with success, sometimes this is a simple sport. I said this the other day. You don't have to be Vince Lombardi sometimes. You just turn and hand the ball off, pick up the yard, keep the drive alive, especially when you have a lead on the road. That play really, I mean, that really, I think, turned the game, that play. That was a horrible play call. The quarterback, though, you know, we talk about this a lot every week. You know, 80% of the time he's good, 20% of the time he's bad. This week and even last week against the Patriots, you know, it's not that 80-20 split. He's been bad more than 20% of the time. He's been really bad. And the turnovers, the first turnover I thought was inexcusable. Just for a guy who's been in the league since 2012 starting, inexcusable. I think he really hurt his chances long-term to stay in Miami. What did you think of the play of Tannehill in this game? And long-term, what are your thoughts on him after these past few weeks?
Awful. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And as I said earlier, when things start to get really rough, do you really have confidence? That's what I ask anybody.
Yep.
And I said this before, even before this season. Do you have the utmost confidence in Ryan Tannehill that he can bring you back? And I thought the answer was no. Tannehill is who he is. He's an average quarterback. He'll play well at times. He won't play well at times. That's just kind of which it's going to be a mixed bag. He's in that same category that you would put Tyrod Taylor and some of the other Blake Bortles. You throw him in there as well. The only thing with Blake Bortles is they have a great team around him, so they're able to mask a lot of his flaws and able to win games for him. The Dolphins they don't have that luxury. They don't have a great team around them, so they need him to play as well as he can in order to pick up victories. So that's just kind of what it is. And yeah, he hasn't played, and it's not going to get any easier this week. He's got to play a Bears defense that's top two in the league, and you have arguably the defensive player of the year, and maybe the MVP of the league, Khalil Mack. So, yeah, a lot of people talk about, well, Tannehill, a lot of people are injured around him, this, that. But, you know, people are injured around Aaron Rodgers. People are injured around Tom Brady at times. They have to overcome their shortcomings. They know I'm not comparing Tannehill to them, but they don't sit there and complain about what's going on there. They go out there and play the game, and that's kind of what you have to do. It's not going to be perfect throughout the course of a season. You're going to have to suffer through injuries, but you have to kind of play through it and play up to your potential. I just think that people are just waiting for a perfect situation for Ryan Tannehill to play in. And
never
going to
happen.
That's just not, going to happen. That's not realistic in football and sports in general.
Yep, you got Russell Wilson. He hasn't had offensive line probably since he played in that second Super Bowl game against the Patriots. You know, the past, I don't know how many years, his offensive line has been miserable. He still finds ways to make plays. You look at Rodgers, he's out there. Yes, Tannehill's not Rodgers, but he's playing on one leg, essentially, Rodgers, and he's still finding ways to make plays. Tannehill's never going to have a perfect situation, and the people who expect him to, we can't judge him until that. It's never going to happen. Guys get hurt. Now, does he have more injuries than, you know, some other guys? Yeah, but that's just bad luck. You can't do nothing about that. And let's talk about some of that with the offensive line. The offensive line right now is a mess. Do you think we'll hear about Laremy Tunsil and if he'll be able to play probably by Thursday, you think, or maybe Friday?
Yeah, I think so. Right now he's in the protocol. My thing is when somebody's at the protocol coming off a concussion, I automatically think they're probably not going to play. That's just kind of how it is. It's a long shot for them to play the prior week because of the way the NFL is run now, and they like to – you have to pass all five stages by Sunday, and it's Tuesday. So if he doesn't practice by Wednesday or Thursday, he's probably not going to play because you have to pass all of those stages just to play. And then you have to – and him practicing is an actual stage of the protocol. So
By Friday for sure then, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, if he does not practice really by Thursday or definitely by Friday, he's not going to play. That's just how it is. My mind, I would expect them to play. Hopefully they play Zach Stirrup. We already seen what Sam Young brings to the table or doesn't bring to the table, depending on what you say. So
no, you said it right. What he doesn't bring to the table.
You might as well just see what Zach Stirrup has and see if he can play, see if he can hang it up any better. And if not, then you might need to go out and look for another player in that position just in case something does happen to Tunsil down the line.
Yeah, and what's the word on Wake and Branch? It sounded like the Wake thing might have just been a one-week thing. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll probably know more by tomorrow. But any word on Wake and Branch?
Well, Wake has been it's been lingering since the Raiders game. Now, he played through it against the Patriots. He didn't necessarily play very well, but he did play through it against New England, and I guess it got worse throughout the week heading to the Bengals game. So we'll see if he can come back against the Bears, which they're definitely going to need him against Mitchell Trubisky, who would have thrown six touchdown passes against Tampa Bay 2 weeks ago. As far as Branch, I don't necessarily know. He did practice a little bit last week, but wasn't able to go. They definitely need one of the other. They can use both of them, but
yeah.
if one is out for the week, you definitely need the other one because we only saw that they did a good job against Andy Dalton. They had to generate a lot of pressure with blitzes, but you don't want to necessarily do that too often because a really great offensive coordinator will spit that apart all day.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the one thing that was sort of overshadowed in Lost Cincy because everybody's talking about the quarterback. Everybody's talking about the head coach. The one thing that was somewhat overshadowed was the defense with, you know, no Bobby McCain, no Andre Branch, no Cam Wick. They actually played well for the most part. And, you know, there's some guys out there like Jonathan Woodard playing in his second game ever. Melvo, he doesn't have a ton of experience. I thought the linebackers, you know, it was really their best game probably in the league for guys like Raekwon and Jerome Baker. Minkah, he played well. I thought that unit, I know it's something nobody's going to talk about because of the loss and everyone wants to talk about the offense. That unit overall, for everyone that is missing, played very well. And that is somewhat promising moving forward that the pieces on that side of the ball, Vincent Taylor had a block kicked. Those guys are young, and they're sort of coming together on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I think they played as well as they could have, considering the situation with all the injuries. They held the Bengals team to only 3 points heading into the fourth quarter until all hell broke loose. But, yeah, I just thought that I mean, yeah, I don't think there's much more you can do. I thought they played a good game. I thought they did exactly what they were supposed to do. I just thought the offense didn't hold up their end of the bargain. And, I mean, that's exactly what happened. Tannehill accounted and the Dolphins offense accounted for 3 turnovers in that fourth quarter, and that was really the big difference there. And, of course, Laremy Tunsil's injury kind of changed the whole complexion of that game. But as a whole, yeah, I thought the defense played as well as they could. I'm curious to see if they can – duplicate that this week.
Back it up. Yep.
They're going to need to. It's going
to
be hard. It's hard, especially when when your team loses a game like that. Can you get up and play a similar type game in next week? I don't know if they can because they played just as well as they could have, and that's considering the circumstances.
Yep. And talking about this Chicago game this week, on defense, I think the key is going to be to shut down the running game and force Trubisky to pass. Now, obviously, his last game, he did that very well. He threw 6 touchdowns, but that was more, you know, he hasn't done that a ton in this league because, you know, he's still young. I think the key is, though, shut down the run, shut down Howard and Tariq Cohen and force them to pass the ball. Make him beat you. Don't let them run wild, then have him have a play-action pass. The other side of the ball, I honestly have no idea how they're going to block the Bears, and I don't know how they're going to score any points, and I think that will tell the tale of this game. Can they block the Bears' front 7?
Yeah, it's not even Khalil Mack, even though he's going to command a lot of attention. Their defense was really good without Khalil Mack last year, their top 10. And then now you add him into the mix, and now they're one of the best in the league. And that's another problem you have to look out for. And, yeah, you can try to double them, but, again, you have to worry about some of the other players that the Bears have. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think Adam Gase knows what they're going to do, to be completely honest. And that has to be keeping them up late at night, especially considering the offensive line is in complete shambles right now, where you possibly going into this game with three of your starters not even playing. Of course, 2 of them are out for the season, and you lose Tunsil in there, the left tackle. And, it's not an ideal situation, to say the least. I'm not even going to act like I know what they're going to do because I have no idea.
Well, what they should do is run the ball because you don't want your quarterback sitting back there long getting hit because the pass blocking might be difficult. This would be a game you want to rely on the run, but we know with this head coach, that's not something that's probably likely. He might try to start the game, but, 10 minutes into the game, he'll be like, screw this, let's start throwing it around, and he might get his quarterback killed. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'll ask you for your prediction on the game, although I have a pretty good idea what it's going to be because it's probably going to be the same as me. So who do you think's going to win?
Yeah, I got to go with the Bears. Yeah. I do think the Dolphins will play relatively well. I mean, they are playing at home. They tend to play better when they're, of course, at Hard Rock Stadium. But if Tussle doesn't play, which I don't think he's going to, I can't see it. I can't see them pulling this out. And I think it's going to be a long day for Tannehill. And I hope he does not suffer any kind of injury, but he's going to have a long day against that Bears defense.
He can't hold the ball long. He's got to throw it quick if he's smart. Hopefully they get him outside of the pocket. We say that every week. They never do it. I don't understand. That's something else I don't understand. Why you don't move him around more, get him outside the pocket. But we'll see. And it should be interesting to say the least. Antoine, thanks so much for a few moments of your time today. Everyone, be sure to read the work of Antoine's Daily at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com and follow Antoine on Twitter at Antoine's Daily. Antoine, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Dan, take care.
Take care.
The London and Jeff Show is a brand new Miami Dolphins podcast here on DolphinsTalk.com. Jeff is a 3-time Emmy Award-winning TV producer, and Landon is his 12-year-old son. Both are die-hard Miami Dolphins fans who have their unique perspective on the team and the happenings taking place with the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to check out the Landon and Jeff Show exclusively right here at DolphinsTalk.com.
Once again, I would like to thank Antoine Staley from USA Today for joining us here on the podcast. Let's get to the pick segment. As many of you know, each week I go head-to-head with the Landon and Jeff Show that can be heard right here at DolphinsTalk.com, and we each pick 3 games against the spread. Last week I went 2-1. They went 1-2, so I picked up a game, and I have expanded my lead to 2 games overall for the season, and I am up 2 games on them. So let's get to this week's picks, where I look to expand my lead even more. Pick number one. Give me the Atlanta Falcons -3.5 against Tampa Bay. Atlanta might be the best 1-4 team in the league right now. They are just hurting on defense, but that offense is still explosive, and at home, they're going to score a ton of points. And the last time we saw Tampa Bay, they were a disaster. The Chicago Bears, they made Mitchell Trubisky look like Bart Starr, and, you know, they're even a bigger mess on that side of the ball. They're changing quarterbacks, going to Winston. Who knows what's going to happen there? I think Atlanta's due for a win. They're at home playing a team that's just not very good, and I think Atlanta gets on the win column here, and they get their second win of the year, and I think they win by more than 3.5. So for pick number one, give me the Atlanta Falcons -3.5. Pick number two, give me the Cleveland Browns +1 at home against the L.A. Chargers. The last time these two teams met, well, it was the San Diego Chargers in Cleveland, was Christmas Eve 2016. It was the only win for the Browns in 2016. This is a case of a West Coast team coming east playing at 1 p.m. That's number one. Number two, the Cleveland Browns. You know, you can make a case they should be undefeated very easily. They got screwed against the Raiders with some bad calls by the refs. They, week one, you know, in the rain, they turned the ball, they caused 5 turnovers on Pittsburgh. They were just unable to punch it in. That's mostly Tyrod Taylor. Then they had a tough loss to the Saints because their kicker couldn't make any chip shots. So, you can make a case the Browns could very easily be undefeated. But they're not, but they're still playing much better. And Baker Mayfield's the real deal. That Browns defense is probably a top 5 defense in the league. They are just, they have players everywhere on that side of the ball. And I think they will cause fits for the Chargers. Flying east, 1 o'clock. I think the Browns get another win here. And they're getting points at home. So, sure, it's just 1 point. Give me the point because I think they're going to win the game outright. So, Cleveland +1 at home against the Chargers. For pick number three, I'm going back to Monday night. Monday night was good for me last week, and I'm heading right back there. The Green Bay Packers -9.5 against San Francisco in Green Bay. 9.5, excuse me, 9.5 is a big number, but I have no faith in San Francisco putting up any points. And I think Aaron Rodgers at home against a miserable San Francisco team, you know, this game's got, you know, 41-10 written all over it. And I think Green Bay -9.5 at home on Monday night. They're going to have an easy win against San Francisco. So it's not about if they win or lose. It's just about will they win by more than 9.5. And I say yes. I don't know how San Francisco will put up any points and score. So my three picks for the week are Atlanta -3.5, Cleveland +1, Green Bay -9.5. To hear who Landon and Jeff pick, you will have to tune into the Landon and Jeff show, which will be up on our site either Wednesday or Thursday, later today or on Thursday. So check that out as I look to expand my lead and win this great prize at the end of this, by the end of the year. So that's all for today's show. Everyone, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. We have a ton of new articles up and podcasts you're going to want to check out. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. And wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it's on Google Play, SoundCloud, iTunes, Podbean, wherever, subscribe to it. Leave us a comment and rating so every time a new show drops, it will go straight to your smart device. Everyone, have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.